Here I am, here I am, checking in with you. Good morning, God. I'm not so sure how about you so far, your worship experience. Somehow, I was in touch with the Spirit somehow, and every worship is like that, but especially today through the bell choir. Above all, when I hear the rhythmic sound and harmony as a sound, I remember the lyrics of the songs, and above all, God thought of me. Above all, God thought of you. That's why we are coming together, and it thrills me so much. How blessed you and I are here to worship God freely with our whole heart, just calling God. If you and I were born 2,000 years ago, you and I are not able to come to God because of the regulation and because you and I are not born to be Jews. How many of Jews we have in here? Except you. We are not entitled to come to God. The God we believe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But through Jesus Christ, coming of Jesus Christ and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you and I are worshiping God. Isn't it amazing? And you and I are being adopted to God's kingdom through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us because he thought of you and me so above all. Have you thought about it? Before you and I were born, I was so inspired and yes, that's why I'm here. Yes, that's why you and I are come to worship, to praise God and worship God. And today's topic is worship, the affair of our life. And in our lives, we said our life. Is this true? Are we have a control over our lives to claim that life to be ours? How many of you really in control of your life? You can plan it out everything and follow through everything. And your kids, you plan it everything and they follow through everything because they are one of you. How many of you are fully in control of your life? If you are like me, I am not. That is why I am relying on God, fully rely on God who has power over our lives. During this Lenten season, we intentionally wrestling the question, what is the purpose of our lives? What is our priority in our, we needed to set it up for? We are intentionally reading the books, even though it is written by the Baptist preacher. We Methodists, still we do believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, like the Baptist Christians. And the way we believe it is somewhat different. If you read the book, and you are so agree with whatever you are reading it, and whatever you are getting from the book, you are totally 100% agree with, that means that you are not in the right church. There are other Baptist church right there. If you think that you are truly Methodist Christian, the Christian who believe in God in a methodically and systematically with the theology we hold in this church, you and I should be uncomfortable about the message we are getting from the book. That is the whole point of it. We need to stir up. There are many different ways of believing God, but by being uncomfortable and hearing the way other people believe in God with the same question, we are challenging ourselves. Am I believing the same God? Am I believing the God the way I supposed to believe? With that challenge, with that question, we are digging into the message of God and trying to discern by adopting the discerning heart of God in our lives. You and I should be uncomfortable with the readings we are having. You and I should be uncomfortable to question and wrestle with the purpose of our lives. I am encouraging you to be true Methodist Christian, not to buy into whatever out there. But we Methodist Christians are the reasoning Christian. God gave us a reason. This is little small brain in our skull is not for the decoration. It is for use. Even come to the church, put your thinking cap on. Whatever I said is one dimension through my experience, through my study, through and in the context where I am, by diagnosing the situation. But it is not the truth. It is a truth I am proclaiming and sharing with you with my whole heart. But it cannot be a truth for everyone because you need to interpret it. I am just sharing the principle out here, and you need to make it your message. In this church, we are not here to make a cookie-cutter Christians in here. Everyone has a different journey and background. We really need to challenge ourselves to think through, what is the purpose of my life in the presence of God? That is a reasoning process. And also, through the experience, we are interpreting it. But definitely, we need to put the scripture in front of us. And without those, we cannot really truly dive into the Christianity in here. Every day you are changing. Every day you and I are growing. Our interpretation and worldview is different. When we were in the preschool, we understand the world the way we were, right? But when we going into the elementary school, junior high, senior high, college, graduate school, become a parent, totally worldview has been changed, right? Am I correct? Am I the only one who's changing all the time? Don't be static. Our God is action God, organic God, alive God. God wants us to stir up your life, to bring the new energy, new vibration, instead of having a mundane, everyday life. You are not created to be that way. You need to have a vibration and some energy in your life, questioning and wrestling and reaction. That is a true Christian. In here, today's scripture, Gospel John chapter 4, this story starts with the encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. When Jesus was journeying from the north to the south, to Israel's Judea, because he was not well received in Israel, and he felt that he finished his sayings, and he would like to have people to digest whatever he said there. So he decided to journey to the south to share the word of God too. Usually, Jewish men, or the men and women, they do not cross the boundary of the Samaritans because they are the interracial population. They do not believe in interracial marriage. And the Samaritans, they weave it into the other nationality and created a new community called the Samaritans. They do not value that, and they do not want to violate their holiness by crossing their boundary. So they usually walk around to go from the north to the south. But Jesus, on this particular day, Jewish boy, he decided to just have a shortcut. For some reason, we do not know, because you and I are not Jesus, what kind of intention he had, but he decided to cross the boundary, go to the shortcut. And so while he was walking down in the street to the south from north, he got tired middle of the day. If you walk along the day from the morning to 12 noon, you must be tired too. And except that those people who hike forever, like a marathon people and a hiking people, but regular people like me, if I walked 2-3 hours, I'm so zoned out. And Jesus might be the same way, maybe. So he walked down, and he got tired middle of the walk. And it's about 12 noon, so it was hot. And he was thirsty. And so he sat down near to the wall, near to the well, and a Samaritan woman came out to draw the water from the well. Why in the middle of the day? Hot, nobody's there. And usually the people come to the well, draw the water from the well when it was cold and cool, cool temperature, early in the morning or the late afternoon because of the sun. But the Samaritan woman was there because she doesn't want it to be seen by anyone due to the several reasons. And as she met Jesus, Jesus met these ladies. And they start to engage the conversation. Back into the biblical time, Jewish people, they never talked to the Samaritans. Especially men never talked to the woman in a public setting. Jesus broke the two boundaries clearly in here. Jewish boy spoke to Samaritan woman in a public setting. And he broke the culture in here for the sake of something in here. That passage is coming from here, verse 15 through 24. First, they engage they encounter, they acknowledge that the person's presence in their lives. And then after that, they engage a conversation about the private things, which is thirsty. I'm thirsty. Would you please give me the water? Because of this well, he was walking in a thirsty. And this conversation went on and getting into deeper conversation, personal way. And in the second conversation is, give me water. And then what happened after that? In the verse 15, let me read it to you. The woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water." The water conversation. And then in Jesus, what the definition of water in Jesus' perspective is different from the Samaritan woman. You and I often use the same language, the same vocabulary, but the meaning might be different. And then, for example, when I was, first time I came to United States, I take every word as it is and have a dictionary definition of every single word. And the first one, break the leg. I was in a writing competition I had to go on when I was in high school. And then people keep saying that, break the leg, break the leg. And then, yes, I'm going to be riding in a sitting position. Why do you want me to break my leg? I do not want to. It's going to be hurtful. And then later on, I learned that Glock. That means Glock. Is there another word like that? There are many. Slang. But I was going for the dictionary definition all the time because that's how I was being brought up. No wonder I'm good at schooling than in other things. And then, this is the same thing. Jesus and Samaritan woman use the same word, water. But they have a different meaning of water. The Samaritan woman, they gave just the physical water from the well. But Jesus' definition of water is the water of the living life. Eternity. You're never gonna thirst. Still, even though Jesus and a Samaritan engage the conversation and use the same word, they are not communicating. Have you felt you are not being communicated to anywhere? You guys are in the same meeting, in the same room. You talk about the same thing, but if you felt that you are not being listened to, and then also that you are not being heard by anyone, you are saying the same thing over and over, but we are not going anywhere. Sometimes these types of conversation happen in the house of the personage with my beloved hubby song. We talk the same thing, same word, but I feel like we are not going anywhere. And as you know, by moving from California to here last year, that was the first journey to live life together with some 24/7 under the same roof. And I've learned a lot. I'm still learning a lot how to communicate, how to listen to each other in the house. Communication is important. But it's unless we do get together and trust each other and hold on to the conversation, keep going on until we understand. We cannot get into the deep meaning of worship later on. Worship comes later. After they just tried to straighten out that, and it sounds like a Samaritan woman understood what Jesus said. After that, what happened? And then Jesus pointed out her personal life, and she decided to open up her personal life to him. And then what happened after that? Worship talk comes. Worship talk. Worship means honoring, praising. You and I cannot worship God without having this step by step. We say that worship is affair of our lives. It is our priority in our lives. But in order to bring that, you and I needed to give some time to understand God and rest with God and dialogue with God. Without that, you and I cannot truly worship God. Worship talk cannot come. Worship God in spirit and truth will not have any meaning to you unless you and I put ourselves in relationship with God. One of the little child asked me, how I was born? That question came up out of blue. So I said, through love. Love of what? Love of your mom and dad and God. And wow, how can it be? I was not even born. God, they loved me? Yes, through their love you were born. They are disciplining you because they love you. Because they love you, they provide meals and encouraging you to do the certain things to shape up your life so you can be awesome person of God. And it's, oh, I am created by love. The meaning is I can be loved. And I can love others because my DNA, she didn't say that her DNA is love. This is my interpretation. She said, oh, I'm love. That was the definition of the preschool. And one of the kids in the preschool in here. We can be theorized and everything, but we need to simplify who you are, whose we are. God created you and me to be in relationship with God. Without this relationship, without the conviction that you are being loved, you are born to be loved, we cannot worship God. In this morning, I would like to challenge you, especially for those who felt that you are not loved. You have no purpose. In the name of Christ, I am claiming that you are being loved by God. You are born to be loved by God. The sign of this statement is you being in worship. Recognize it or not. We Methodist Christian, we define that this one is a prevenient grace. Before we acknowledge God, God loves you and me. Before you and I acknowledge God's love over us, God still loves us. When we said, aha, God loves me, that moment is the moment you are standing on your 2 feet to be the contributor and worshipers in truth and spirit. That aha moment that for some people do not have yet. I'm praying that until you acknowledge God, keep wrestling with the question, why am I here? Why God loves me? Why I am doing the things what I'm doing? Keep questioning. That in that question, in wrestling moments, you are not alone. Worship God is based on the relationship. coming to worship at least on Sunday, on Sunday morning, it is a sign that you are being loved by God. So, love yourself continuously as you and I continue worship our God.